What's going on, Smashville? Welcome into Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tonight, we talk to Paul Skrbina of the Tennessean and discuss the Predators' recent woes. That's all tonight on Slapshot Radio, brought to you by day one sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from KW Realtors in Murfreesboro, the largest wines and spirits store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. My name is Zach McCann, and with me is my co-host, former Predators assistant coach Brent Peterson. Coach, how are you tonight, sir?
Doing great. How about you?
Oh, you know, we are staying warm and relatively thawed out on this snowy evening here in Nashville, Tennessee. Our regular host, Paul McCann, is out on vacation. He's taken the week off. All best wishes to him as he gets some well-deserved rest. And the hockey talk does not stop here for us, though, as we have a lot to discuss here, Coach. And first of all, the weather outside. It's a regular winter classic out there.
Did you know, I hope your dad drove the right way away from the weather, not into the weather. So I've been here 22 years, and I know that's not a lot for some Tennesseans, but it's been unbelievable. Rain, then snow, then freezing rain, then snow again, and got five layers on my step, and I can't even move it off. I had to get a chisel to get it out of there.
You know, funny enough, I actually got to get out and skate around my apartment complex yesterday, and then I saw a video circulating around Twitter of the pond outside of the Parthenon in Centennial Park frozen over. So sure enough, me and my brother-in-law actually got to play pond hockey in Middle Tennessee yesterday. Did you ever think you'd see anything like that, Brent?
We should bring the game here instead of on Tahoe on the weekend.
Well, from what I hear, the Metro Parks Department and the boys in blue from Metro Police made sure to put a stop to that earlier today. So something about people being able to fall in or some kind of danger that's going on.
Yeah.
Just a little bit out there. So, Brent, we've had a little bit of time off to mourn the last week of Predators hockey, some unexpected time off on Monday and Tuesday. What do you make of the Nashville Predators right now as things stand?
Well, just when we thought they were just going to get going with some work ethic and some offense, they the first two periods on Monday, last Monday against Detroit, or last Thursday, what day was it? It's been so long.
Thursday and Saturday.
Saturday night. Wednesday or Saturday, one of the two. But anyways, it was a disgraceful performance those first two periods. Then we got going in third again, but it's always too late. We played really well. We forechecked. We got on them. We made them no time and space. We gave them no room, and then we were all over them. First two periods, it would look like we were sleepwalking. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why we can't come out and play. We have to play three periods, or we're not going to be even in the playoff run here.
No, absolutely right, especially both those games against Detroit. I think it's pretty safe to say we're a bit of a flop. Even the win that you got against Detroit, I didn't think Nashville looked particularly great during that game either. Though you did mention something that I think is a consistent issue for this Nashville Predators team: slow starts. And Brent, you of course have been in the coach's chair with the Nashville Predators in their early days. What do you do to get a team ready for a game?
Well, you do a lot of things. You skip the morning practice sometimes. Maybe you go hard in the morning so they wake up, and maybe you get their attention right away when they come in at 4:30 or 5 o'clock. You get their attention right away. I want to have a meeting real quick. This happened. You better be ready for this. Just get their attention, because they all come in at different times, you know, 4:30 to 4:45. They all come in at 5 o'clock around that time. They all wander around and say hi to everybody, and they're taking their time doing things, and they're doing their sort of their routine, and that's good. But if you're losing every game, or you're behind every game in the first period, then you lose the second period even more, is worse, and that's unforgivable for a pro athlete to not be ready as a team. Not every individual is doing his part out there, especially, I mean, guys that are supposed to be doing the bulk of the scoring, they're not scoring, and the guys that are supposed to kill penalties, they're not killing penalties. The goalies are playing okay. I can't really criticize them too much, but they still are part of it. They can make some great saves. And we see throughout the league this year some great goalie saves from guys that you don't even know who they are. So we've got no excuse. We've got good goaltending. Our defense the other night. We finally killed off four penalties both nights, and we got a goal on the power play, and we still didn't do any good. So we're doing better on the special teams, but then 5-on-5. So somebody always lets us down. Somebody different every night lets us down.
Yeah, it does seem to be a I fixed this thing and now this thing is broken. And it's certainly not the way to go if you want to turn this season into a playoff run. You know, when you look at this Nashville Predators team right now, the consistency has been always called into question. And I think one thing that people aren't necessarily paying attention to, even though some of these players have been maligned, this team is fairly injured right now. How much do you think the injuries of Ryan Johansson, Matthias Ekholm, Matthew Olivier, Brad Richardson, and the list goes on and on. How much do you think those are affecting this team, especially throughout this early season struggles?
Well, we knew we'd need to use everybody, but we didn't think we'd have five really good players out, like two of our top players. I mean, in Ekholm, he plays against the biggest guys in the league, and Joey plays against Jofa line. They play together all the time against the best lines in the league, and they do very well. And they're the guys that lead us. They led us in the playoffs last year when we got beat by Phoenix in the first round, or Arizona, or whoever they want to call themselves. But the Jofa line was great. The Jofa line started the year great at the first practices and scrimmages. And they had a shortened up training camp, so I thought they'd come out flying, and they just haven't. And then Joey goes down. Now they're trying to find Kanin, who. You know, it's nice to put Cunningham and spread your lines out, but you got to find three good lines there and then spot in your fourth because, you know, Cunningham's a decent player. He's a good young kid, but he can't play with Forsberg and those guys and expect it. And we can't expect the production out of him that we expect out of Joey, even though Joey hadn't scored a goal. He was still working his butt off every night. So I think there's a big excuse. Oh, we don't have these guys out. We don't have these guys out. We don't have these guys to play with us tonight. But that's okay. Everybody else is in the same boat. Everybody else had COVID situations. They had sicknesses. They had plane troubles. They had all weather things. So, you know, there's no excuse for a professional athlete to not play every night. And you're right. The consistency has been probably the worst part of it. We play one good period, and then we play a bad period. Then we play a good game, then we play a bad game. Then we play a bad game and lose big, play a good game and lose a little bit. So it's so frustrating every day to watch it. And I can't see them getting out of it, really. I can't see them getting out of it because of the way that the team is structured. It's structured with all the money on the 7-8 years on guys that you can't trade. You can't even trade. You can trade them, but you have to have some back for them. So it's really been frustrating for me to watch that because I love the Preds, and I'm one of the favorite. They're my favorite team in the world, and I love to be. I'm not a real press guy, so I don't have to worry about that, but. I just, it's just frustrating to watch him play.
And I think that is the key term. It is frustrating. And I think you could ask anyone in the locker room, anyone in that front office, and that would be the word that they would use, frustration. Now, I will ask you this, Coach. Do you think the Predators, sitting at the record that they are at right now, 7th in the Central Division, do you think their record is indicative of their play so far? Do you think that is a fair record for how they have played?
Pretty close, but I still think I even think they didn't deserve as much as they got. They got a couple of good plays in overtimes to win games, and they played a whole bad game earlier in the year against Columbus. They played pretty good game two. They played really good in game three against Carolina, and then they got the one cut, and then they got the one game canceled or postponed, and then we go down to Dallas, and we've been bad ever since we went down to Dallas. We got beat badly. And I think, you know what it is? It's the work ethic with the puck and without the puck, the work ethic together as a team, not individually work ethic. You have to do it as a team. If one guy goes in and forechecks and the other guy stay back high, or one guy, two guys go in, or three guys go in and get beat, you're not working together. So you have to be organized, you have to be together, and you just have to do it together. You can't do individual work ethic. And now our work ethic has even gone down a little bit, except for one period the other night, and that was all we had going for ourselves.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I honestly do think this team is a little better than its record would indicate. I'm honestly surprised that things have gone off the rails so quickly. And I do think just as quickly as things seem to have been spiraling out of control for this team, I do think there is a lot of possibility for them to right this ship. But time is running out on that. Coach, we've only got a few seconds here until a break. As they are constructed right now, and this is what I want you to think about. Is this team a buyer or a seller in the rapidly approaching trade deadline?
Well, I think it's definitely a seller. And like you said, the team has to be much better. And we're going to have to go on a 10-game winning streak to get back in this game. Like St. Louis did 2 years ago when they were down at the bottom of the league. They came out with a 10-game winning streak. And that's what we're going to have to go on. We're going to have to go on a 7 or 8 game or get points in every game in 10 games or something like that to get us back in the back part of the playoffs.
Hey, well, you said it, Coach. It has been done before. Now, that'll be it for this segment. But before we get to our break, I do want to tell you about our premier sponsor for Slapshot Radio, our day one, since day one of the show, when I was just a little speck in the eye of some of the hosts watching this entire whole radio show take off, Drs. Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're a great staff. They've got a comfortable environment. I trust them with my teeth. You should trust them with yours. I'm sure I've been told I have a smile that is perfect for radio. They make it a lot more comfortable to get your dental needs taken care of. And if that wasn't enough, they offer all of the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening and even sedation dentistry. Check out their website at WeBrightenSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Welcome back into Slapshot Radio right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know, before we get to our guest, I want to talk to you just a moment about Carter Church from Keller Williams Realtors Murfreesboro. Carter and I actually work together with the Predators, and he is a Navy vet and has the marketing experience that you need to get your home sold in this fast-paced market. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church is your real estate professional if you're buying or if you're selling. So, Brent, we have a very special guest joining us. Certainly someone I've been excited to get back on the show here for a while. We've got Paul Skrbina from the Tennessee. And Paul, how are you tonight?
I am trying to stay warm, man. I'm watching cars try to – I live on a hill, Zach, and I'm watching cars the last few days try to get up this hill and come back down. And I can say this. I drove 10 and a half hours back from Chicago on Monday. I got two doors down from the house and got stuck too. So I think I'm entitled to a few laughs, but yeah, I'm staying warm and enjoying the Chicago weather down here.
Oh, I know. I guess you brought it back down with you. We appreciate that. You know? So Paul, let's jump right on in the Nashville Predators right now. What do you make of this team?
Disaster. So far, disaster. I mean, and it's just seemingly a continuation of last season, and it's so hard, Zach, it's so hard to figure out when you look on paper and it's like, man, these guys should be a lot better than they are. And, you know, sometimes I think you just eventually you are what you are. And I think the Predators are what they are. And I wrote a column a couple of days ago, you know, it might be time to just blow it up. I mean, what they're doing is not working. You know, and I'll say this too, and I'm not standing up for John Hines or David Poile, but a lot of this is on the players. I mean, these guys were bad last year under Laviolette, and they've been bad under Hines. And, you know, I can't, you know, John Hines said, you know, if I had the answer to the riddle, to the, you know, all these riddles, we wouldn't be having these discussions. And he's right. And that's, you know, pretty frightening, actually, looking at the roster that, the talent that they have. But, you know, this is not new. You know, this is a trend that's been going on for a while. And, you know, I think they're getting to the point now where they're going to have to consider, you know, trading guys like Ekholm and maybe a Ryan Ellis over the summer, or, you know, just, you know, even a Forsberg, get some draft picks, see if you can get Seattle to take Johansson somehow in the expansion draft. You know, they got to unload these contracts and really start over again. And I, you know, like I said, I don't blame the coaching necessarily. I mean, John really hasn't had much time consistently to kind of implement his system and his style and whatnot. But I don't know that he's been dealt a great hand with the roster that he has.
Sure. And it is interesting when you look at this roster as it's constructed, you have four players who have had 30 goal seasons under their belts. You've got six players with almost 60 point seasons under their belts. And yet offense is the consistent problem with this team. Do you think it's just wrong ingredients make a bad product, or is it just a matter of the chemistry isn't there? Any ideas? Or
I get the feeling, I mean, a little bit of it has to do with, you know, injuries have hurt them in terms of, you know, being able to keep guys together on lines, which that's common in all, you know, all of hockey. So I don't think that's an excuse. I think a big problem this season has been the penalties. You know, at 5-on-5, the Predators aren't awful, but they're almost never at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
And like you say, I've always said, you know, you look at a guy like Kyle Turris who came here, really good offensive player before he got here, really good at the beginning, and then nothing. You look at a guy like Matt Duchene, pretty good offensive player, you know, when he got here, really good in the beginning, nothing. You know, I know this franchise is only 21 years old, but, you know, your all-time single season leading goal scorer has 34 goals in this. I mean, that, you know, I don't know what it is with offense in Nashville. They're great at developing defensive players. I struggle to think of the last, I mean, Victor Arvidsson is probably the only guy that they really developed. And I guess Forsberg too, but
outside of Alex Radulov, I mean, that certainly something we didn't even get to reap the rewards of.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a shame too. I know there were some issues with you know, I'd heard there's some issues with teammates here, and he wanted to get the heck out of here, for, you know, for whatever reason. But yeah, he's, you know, for some reason, offensive players come here to die, and I don't understand it. But you know, I see it makes sense to me to trade a guy like Mikael Granlin, who still has value, or an Ekholm who would be coveted by a lot of teams who you could probably get a lot of high draft picks for, you know, and really just start looking ahead at the future and stop living off of 2017 is how I see it.
Slapshot Radio here on ESPN 102.5, The Game, in the middle of the hockey block. Sitting here with Paul Skrbina of the Tennessean, myself, Zach McCann, with Coach Brent Peterson. Coach, you got a question for Paul?
I do, Paul. I just want to know what your thoughts are on the goaltending this year. A lot of people say that you can't blame the goalies, but at times you have to blame the goalies because they don't play as well as they should have. And there have been very, 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 I don't know, maybe it's been just a negative to the goalies, but I think that – tell me what you think about the goalie situation is now.
I think it's below what it should be. I mean, look, I know Pekka's 38 years old, and, you know, you see to me, you know, looking at his career, he's been brought along so slowly – you know, I don't think he's a top 15 goalie in the NHL, top 20 goalie in the NHL in terms of starters, but I don't think he's the long-term solution. So you're right. I think goaltending has been a problem. I think the Predators have put their goaltenders in bad positions by, you know, having so many, four, you know, 4-on-5s and 4-on-6s and,
yeah,
and giving up these high danger chances and, you know, just, you know, and that stems also from the offense from my perspective. I mean, they go down there and they're one and done. I mean, I don't – Victor Arvidsson's been shooting from like the 50-yard line all season. I don't know, you know, if you look at these advanced metrics and these charts and whatnot, I mean, I think one leads to the other. But you are right, Brent. I don't think the goalies are completely absolved of the blame, and I think that they do have something to do with it. UC has struggled. I think Pekka is now the number one guy again. You know, this season also, too, it kind of comes with an asterisk because it's so hard with all these back-to-backs and all these postponements. And, you know, they went down to Dallas and didn't play a game. Everybody's in the same boat, but not everybody's built to be on that boat, I guess. And I don't think the Predators are built for that.
Well, you're just as I talked to Cooper, Cooper from Tampa Bay and Todd Richards, who was in Tampa Bay when they won last year. And he said, after 4 years of losing in the playoffs, they finally got their good players to believe this is how they had to play. And our guys just won't believe that yet right now. It might take 5 years for – and they're a good team, never mind the stuff we have to deal with. So that's why
I think, Brent, you're right. I mean, if you look at a rebuild, I mean, if you're still rebuilding after 3 or 4 years, then that's not a rebuild. You know what I mean? And I think the Predators have been hesitant. David was very hesitant. In 17, look, they barely made the playoffs. They were the last team in. They overachieved in the playoffs. They won the President's Trophy the next season. And they thought that it was going to just – things were just going to stay like that. And they didn't. And that's the big mystery to me, is I can't figure out, you know, they've had, you know, Pekka was an elite goaltender, you know, as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, you know, in the league. And that's fallen off, obviously, with age. UC to me is, you know, and I say this, look, I like these guys personally. It's never personal, but you know, I like these guys, but UC to me is not a starting goalie on a Stanley Cup contending team. I don't see that. You know, and Pekka, you know, his best years obviously are probably behind him, but you know, I always go back to what John said, and he's right. You know, like, if they knew the answers to these questions, I mean, and you see him regressing too. Last year, you know, they'd fall behind and then seemed like they gave up. This year, they've fallen behind and in the beginning of the season felt like they were fighting back and not giving up. And now it seems like it's kind of regressing back to that mentality of, all right, here we go again. And, you know, it's a lot of factors, but yeah, there are certain things you can point to, and their top players aren't playing like top players. I mean, you know, look at the playoffs. If Rocco, and I love Rocco, if Rocco Grimaldi is your leading scorer in the playoffs, you're probably not winning too many series. I mean, that's just a fact.
Right.
And you know, that's a reality that they have to kind of maybe look at, you know, and we'll see if David is willing to do that.
Certainly interesting days ahead for the Nashville Predators. You can read them in the Tennessean, whether you're digital or print. Paul, want to thank you for joining us here on Slapshot Radio.
I appreciate you having me, and I didn't get to say hi, Paul, so I'll say hi, Zach.
That'll work enough. You know, we're just trading Pauls out for another. You're never going to go Paul-less on an episode of Slapshot Radio.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks again, Paul. And folks, we'll be right back in just a few minutes with more Slapshot Radio. Welcome back to Slapshot Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Your weekly hour of fun, informative hockey talk. We are so glad you decided to join us tonight on this snowy, chilly, icy evening here in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got myself, Zach McCann, one of the hosts of the Predators Watch Parties, and as always, former assistant coach Brent Peterson. Brent, you know, you look around this league right now, and there's some decent hockey happening outside of the greater Nashville area.
Oh, the games the other night were unbelievable. They were fast, end-to-end, lots of chances, lots of great goaltending, lots of power plays, lots of penalty, everything involved. The game was fantastically fast. Mm-hmm. And, boy, the Avalanche and I'm in the Avalanche and the Vegas game. That's the only one I saw. And it was really – it was a quick game, boy. They were – those two teams – They got their guns a rolling there.
Boy, you look at a playoff series that I want to sign up for. It's got to be Colorado and Vegas, because those two teams, they are just built to contend from top to bottom. What is it about those teams that you think makes them just in that upper echelon of the league?
Well, they got a good start, number one, but Colorado had to do it by drafting and savvy trades by Sakic. I mean, he's made some good trades. He made a good trade with us. We got a good player, but he got that. Gerard's been great for them, and he's one of their main defensemen, especially on the power play, a little bit smaller guy. But those two teams are there. They're at the right time of their franchise. They're probably like us, where we were at 17. Mm-hmm. You know, I know, like Paul said, we just barely made the playoffs, but we were playing really well at the time, and we were fast, and we had kids that come up, and everybody who stepped in for us did a job in the playoffs. But those two teams that, you know, the Vegas team, they're a little bit different. They sort of made some trades, signed some free agents, made some great draft picks in the expansion draft, and now they're going good. They got three good lines and some tough guys on the third, fourth line, and Reason, those guys. They just got a good team all together. And Fleury's playing fantastic until that game. But he's playing fantastic for them, and because Lerner's hurt, I think he's hurt. Mm-hmm. I think he's hurt, so he just came in there and he just took over again. So it's been great to see.
I think it's interesting the fact that you look at. You often hear the term "rebuild on the fly." It's what teams who have kind of fallen out of contention.
Right.
Exactly. And you look at a team like Vegas, who isn't rebuilding, they're just building because they're only 3 years old. And you look at the agents that they've signed, whether it's a Mark Stone, who is now their first captain, or Max Pacioretty, or other players they've acquired via trade. And you look at that, and it's just such an interesting job for that team to already be on its second head coach, its second GM, and to still have that consistent quality. I mean, what an amazing job at organization.
Yeah, they've done a great job of early scouting before they even came in the league. They did a great job of getting people and amassing lots of draft picks, and then they did a good job in the expansion draft, and then they made some pretty big signings too with Stone and these guys, and then they traded for the guy from St. Louis. And then they had to make another trade to get him out of there.
Yep. Signing Alex Pietrangelo, of course, during the offseason, a huge signing for them.
So those are big $7 million signings for 7 years. So, but their guys ended up working out. Our guys did the 7 years, and we did it in 2017. All our guys were coming out due for pay raises and for contracts, and we paid it out, and they stopped playing, or something happened. I don't know what happened between them, because They were blaming PK for this. They were blaming this guy for this. Mm-hmm. And they just weren't a team together. They're not a team together right now. I know John wanted to change that when he came in. He wanted the culture to be good. And it just hasn't worked out. So I think the only thing you can do is either bear with it and hope you get one of those 10-game segments where you score, get 10, 12, 13 points out of it, or blow it up. Trade away an Ellis. I think Ellis would be somebody you could get a little bit for. Ellis and keep Ekholm and Yossi, and trade away Ellis. Get Tomasino in there. Get all those young kids in there. Play the heck out of Tolvanen and those guys, and just let them suffer for this year, and we'll get a high draft pick. Those are the two options that I see that David has to do, and that's all he's got to do. I know they're trying to salvage the season now, but if they lose even, they have to win 2 out of 3 games the rest of the season to get in.
Sniff the chance. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Exactly. I mean, I don't envy being in David Poyle's shoes, especially as you look at other teams who have made similar moves. And David Poyle has long been respected as a very savvy general manager in this league. I mean, most wins by a general manager in NHL history. Those numbers, you know, are incredible and are to be lauded. And, you know, no one, of course, makes any of these moves planning for them not to work out. But it is just a curious thing that so far it's just been Charlie Brown kicking the football every single time another person comes to town lately. And I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's personnel. I don't know what it is. But something is rotten in the state of Smashville, and I'm just not quite sure what exactly it is. And I think you're right.
I don't know what it is either. If somebody came in on the street and asked me what's wrong with your prayers, they ask me every day when I go to the golf course. Although I haven't been going to the golf course lately, but every day I go to the golf course and say, what's wrong with your team? What's wrong with the team? And I can't give them a specific answer. I can say, the penalty kill's brutal. The power play can't score. We can't finish. The goaltenders are awful, this and that. But it's not. It's not any one thing. You can't put your finger on it. Mm-hmm. And it's really frustrating. That's why I say I was frustrated, because I can't figure out what's wrong with them. And I think it's a little bit of, I got my money and maybe I didn't work out 4 times a week instead of 5. And I worked out and I sort of let it go a little bit. And I thought it was going to be easy when I came back, and it wasn't easy. And then I started working harder and harder and I couldn't get it back. And just little things. It's just little tiny things that crept into the room. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad it's going this way, because right now we're not even close to a playoff spot.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Ryan Ellis mentioned it the other before this season about, we feel like we're ready to work harder now and ready to do something. And there was a problem before, and you saw it in the beginning. And that's the weird thing, is that I keep seeing, whether it's fans on Twitter, media members, or anyone else comes out and questions the work ethic of this team. And I just don't agree with that, because I look and I see these guys, they're working hard on the ice. Every shift, no one's taking a shift off. I don't see anyone playing lazily, even players who have been much maligned as supposed lazy players. I don't see that kind of play from them. And I just don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the scheme that's off, if it's just not having the right people in place. But like you said, I cannot quite put my finger on what the problem is.
Well, somebody said to me the other day, and I sort of negated this. I said, yeah, maybe you're right. But he said, we have a good team. We work hard. We don't want to work hard. We work hard as we can. Mm-hmm. We just don't work in the right direction. We don't work together. But this guy who's been a hockey fan for about half the time since I've been here, about 10 years, he's been a hockey fan, and he loves the Predators, mm-hmm. loves going and play. He just said, well, they look like they hate each other out there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Always they're struggling. Their body language is very poor. You know, and they're slumped down after a goal against, and they're just and it's one of those when they score the first period on the power play for the other team, they go, here we go again, just like you said earlier, here we go again. You can't do that in pro sports. You got everything's got to be an individual period, individual game, individual. And you got to have a short and a long-term memory. You got to forget what's happened before and just go on. And I think, and then you got to play consistent hockey, and we just haven't. So I think that our culture is to play hard and to score goals. And that's what David wanted all the time. When Barry and I were coaching the Predators, we wanted everybody to play hard, but we had to play defensively well. And Pekka saved our bacon many times. I don't think the culture and the team setup is what it needs to be right now. The culture is not there, you could tell, but it's not the same as the team identity. A team identity is how you want to be known, how you want to play. And sure enough, we don't play hard. We don't play hard. We're not hard to play against. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Stedlow's come in here and beat you 1-on-1, score a goal, and make a great play, and this that. Yeah, that's that. If Rioci tried doing that, they'd be at five guys around him almost sometimes. So, just the culture compared to what the team David's built. Maybe David's had a different idea, and they haven't had as much continuity as they wanted to have.
So, Coach, of course, you were part of some early tough years for the Nashville Predators. How do you get a team going and really try to ingrain that culture, even when the results aren't there?
Well, we sort of David let us know every year he's going to let go even some good players. Like when he traded Dunham was our best goalie, mm-hmm. and he played almost every game. Volkoon had played none, and David comes in the room and says, "I got to trade him. I got two good players coming in for him. I got to trade him." And we were all for it because we wanted to get better. And then mm-hmm. they had the year that they had the lockout. And they stayed the whole year. And then we came back and signed Korea. And then we got Sullivan. David made some great trades during that time. And that's what David Paul is a great GM. And I can't stand it when I listen to Jared's show every day and they're all over him about this and that. Everybody says, oh, I made this bad trade. Jared said he made this bad trade. Well, you know what? He can negate all those bad trades for getting Forsberg for Erat. That was an unbelievable trade. Can you imagine not having Forsberg right now?
Don't want to.
David Paul is a great general manager. He's a great person. He's a decent human being. He's not an idiot like some of the people in the league are. He's just a good man.
No, I completely agree. I think for every bad trade that you can point to recently, you can also point to a smart signing or a good trade or something along those lines.
We signed Korea. We signed got JP Dumont. We got the big centerman. I can't remember his name.
Jason Arnott.
Jadis Arnott, mm-hmm. all those guys were through free agency, through trades, mm-hmm. through drafts, and they're great moves to make us get to the point where Barry had to, then they lost, then we had to have the new ownership, and we went through all that. So a lot of things have happened over the last 22 years with the Predators, but it's been mostly good. But this time is troubling because we're supposed to have a good team. We have a good team that can play, but they're not playing as a unit. And it's just frustrating to watch. That's all I can say.
Well, you mentioned it earlier. This is a Nashville Predators team that is at a crossroads right now. And they have a franchise-altering decision to make. And I think it needs to be made this year. You said it earlier. Is it time to rebuild or can they reload? And I'll be honest, I do not know the answer right now.
Neither do I. I don't have an answer for you either. I think they can reload with if they make some trades that are not going to be anybody, not nobody's going to like them at all. Like you got to trade Ellis or Ekholm, and I think you keep Ekholm just because of the size. And Ellis has been good, but he hasn't been great. He hasn't been great this year. You got to trade a guy up from up front, and you got to trade him for almost just to say, take his money, Duchesne, or and let Granlund go again. And just, you have to make some brash moves because it needs to be done. Something needs to be done because nobody wants to watch the guys get beat 7-0 and then work their butts off every night and get beat 6-1 and 7-0. Like that game, the one game against Tampa Bay was like the boys against the men there. And we got a long ways to go, but we got a lot of good fans here that are going to be out there every night cheering. We'll cheer you on as much as we can.
People just want to know that there is a plan in place, and that I think is what will comfort the fan base to hear that. We're going to talk more about some ideas for, you know, helping this Predators team right the ship and maybe compare them to some other teams in the NHL as we come back in our last segment to wrap up this episode of Slapshot Radio. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter. Find PredPAPaul at PredPAPaul. Find myself at ZachMcCann47. And make sure to like this Slapshot Radio Facebook page and keep up with all the happenings with the show on social media. And don't forget to check out Paul's blog at HockeyBuzz.com. We'll be back with our last segment of Slapshot Radio. Well, we certainly have a clash in store for us tomorrow as the Predators return to the ice to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets in Columbus. And the question on everyone's mind is, do we see Ryan Johansson tomorrow night? He is on the trip. He has not been activated yet, but it is looking like he could be making his return to the lineup either tomorrow or Saturday. What do you think Ryan Johansson returning to the lineup means to this Predators team, Coach?
Well, earlier in the year, it didn't mean any points, but JoJo, he's just good to be around. He's a real, real good guy. The guys like playing with him, and he's just he's a happy-go-lucky guy, and sometimes it looks like he's laughing when he should be crying, but he's a big part of our team. He's a big part of that first line that we need to get going. And I don't know whether he's trying so hard that he almost looks like he's pushing it, the motor at the wrong level or whatever. You know, he's just not, nothing's going in for him. He hadn't had a goal yet. And he got hurt. And so he had a bad start to the season. So maybe we get him back playing and get Ekholm back playing and those other guys back in the lineup. We can get some wins here, but we're going to need a lot of wins. Like we said, we had to make the playoffs or even sniff the playoffs. We have to win 2 out of every 3 games. And that's what you have to go down to. When we were out of the playoffs by 5-6 points before, we used to say, you can't say you got to win 50 out of 60 the next games or get in. You got to win 2 out of 3, get 6 points every 3 games and just go from there.
Slapshot Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Zach McCann, Brent Peterson taking you all the way through the hockey block. Penalty Box Radio coming up at 8 p.m. You know, Brent, you did mention it. You got to take these games in chunks. You can't eat an elephant the entire way. You got to eat it one bite at a time. And it starts tomorrow against Columbus. Against a Columbus team who is likewise floundering a bit with the weight of expectations, though they've gotten a recent shot in the arm with some excellent play from two recent acquisitions, Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic. What do you make of this Columbus team since acquiring those two players?
Well, they're certainly better on the power play because that big guy shoots a puck from the left circle, the same place that Ovechkin stands and Shea Weber used to stand, and he can fire the puck. Oh, he is a righty, isn't he? He's a righty. He is over there. Mm-hmm. I saw him score a goal the other night, and the goalie didn't get halfway back into the net. It was so fast. So this guy's got great hands. He can score, and he's been really maligned for his laziness and that kind of thing. So you got to go right at him. You can't give him any time. He's a great player when you give him time and space, and he's a bad player when you're right in his face. So you got to be right in his face, and the player's got to come out and play. They got to play 2-1 hockey. You have to. That's the way that they're going to make you play 2-1 hockey, or they will win 6-1 because they'll wait for you to make a mistake and then they'll counter. And that's how they do it. They get one goal and then they get two. And then if you play real poor and you're trying to get things going, you're going to be back in the 6-1 games kind of thing. So you got to play a 2-1 game. Hope we get just like we did the first two games of the season against them. That's the way they play. They make you frustrated. They are all over you. They're good. They take the body. You got to be ready for that. You got to you got to initiate, no, don't retaliate. We've retaliated a lot, many times too much this year.
Oh, absolutely. And you look at John Tortorella coach teams, you know, a coach who is very hot and cold with most people. No one feels just okay about John Tortorella. And you already see him kind of saying to Patrick Laine, no, you're not going to come in here and pull that, with a benching of Patrick Laine. What, four games into his career with Columbus?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three.
Three games.
Patrick Laine has been benched. He's had a fight. And he's got like five goals in six games so far with Columbus. He's doing it all really quickly.
Well, John's a really good friend of mine, and I know he's a little bit of a wacko at times, but he absolutely cares for his players, and he wants them to do well. He just wants them to play the right way. So he'll bench him. If he had Gretzky had a bad shift, he'd be bench him. So, you know, it's that's the way John is. John, there's no black or white with John at all. I mean, no gray with John at all. It's either black or white. No gray at all.
Absolutely. And right after this series with Columbus, we have another series with the Detroit Red Wings happening next week as well. Now, talk about something you got to be excited about after getting embarrassed in your own building, a chance to go up to Detroit and take care of business. What do you think the Preds need to do in that first game? I mean, we get our show in the middle of that series. What do you think they got to do to establish dominance over a former big brother like the Red Wings were?
Well, the same thing we had to do the other day. When we had to win the first game for sure. You got to get in there, and they have good speed and young kids on the Detroit Red Wings. And they had a lot of guys hurt the other night, and then we didn't take advantage of it in our building. So they just shut us down. We didn't play. We didn't even try in the first two periods. We just went out there and put our sticks on the ice and hoped that somebody else would do it. Third period, we got mad. We came out of the dressing room, fired up, and we almost caught them. We got to 3-2, and then they got the empty netter. So it's frustrating to see how the guys do that, but that's how you have to play. You have to play every game the same way, because it's the only way you can win. We can't win a game 7-1. We're not going to score seven goals unless somebody plays very poorly in front of us. Well, we haven't had a bad goalie play in front of us. We've made goalies look good this year, so we got to make sure we bury the puck. We have to finish, and we have to play good, solid defense in our own zone.
Who do you think is the key to the Predators riding this ship? If there's one player who you think it is, who is it?
Well, I think it's Forsberg, because we need offense. And I think this Roman Josi is a great player, but I think he's doing the wrong thing by leading the rush, and all the forwards are behind him. He should give the puck to the forwards, let them shut down, go to the net, hit Josi coming late. But Forsberg, I think, is the key to our team. When he's going, and he's a good enough player to do it by himself, and now he's trying to do it by himself because he cares so much. You can't do it by yourself. You got to make everybody around you better, and you have to give and goes. When you're on offense, you want to create two-on-ones where you're playing two-on-one against one player. When you're on defense, you want to make two-on-ones take away their time and space and have one-on-ones. And that's how you play the game. You play one-on-ones without the puck. You play two-on-ones with the puck. And that's how Mario Lemieux used to do it. I went to a seminar where Mario Lemieux came and coached, and it was unbelievable how he says, this guy goes here, I go over here. This guy goes here, I go over here. This guy goes inside, I go outside. This guy goes outside, I go inside. So he was unbelievable how simple his game was. He just went where nobody was. He got passes from his team. He was big enough and strong enough and could see the whole ice. That's how he played the whole game. It was great.
They don't call him Super Mario for nothing. Well, Coach, we have killed another hour. We did it again. We survived a week without Paul McCann. Thank you to our guest, Paul Skorbina, for joining us. And thank you for joining us here on Slapshot Radio. We're back next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Again, a big thank you to Paul Skorbina of the Tennessean for joining us. Thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from KW Realtors Murfreesboro, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Elijah, and our co-hosts, Brent Peterson and Paul McCann, wherever he is, I'm Zach McCann saying keep those catfish on ice.